Spirit living on the inside of you. What an awesome and wonderful thing. We serve a great God. You can be seated this morning. Thank you for joining us in worship and praising God. It's a wonderful day. Happy Pentecost Sunday to each and every one of you. If it's your first time here joining us for service, we'd like you to fill out a connection card. They're out at the kiosk. Hopefully one of the ushers gave them to you when you came in. If not, please go out to the welcome kiosk following service and fill one of those connection cards out. Or if you're watching online, there's a bit.ly link for you to fill out. We'd love to get to connect with you, get to know you a little bit better. And we're glad you've taken time to join us in person and online. With that being said, we have a promo video for Mother's Memorial we'd like you to see.
Because they organized a bake sale, she can learn to organize and lead a worship team. Because he committed to give, she can commit to a Bible study that will change her life. Because this youth group had a car wash. She can wash the feet of her adopted baby. Because she gave online, she can receive relief from mounting medical bills. Because this family prayed, she can go to Bible school overseas and answer to her prayers. Because they ran a 5K. She can walk into communities and build a bridge between cultures. Because of all you do to support Mother's Memorial, she can change the world. Visit ladiesministries.com to find more ways to get involved.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I'm here to talk about Mother's Memorial. This year at Ladies, first of all, I just want to say thank you to everybody for giving to Mother's Memorial last year. At Ladies Retreat this year, our church was nominated, I think, 14th in the nation. So that is awesome. If you just want to give yourself a hand clap. Thank you, Jesus. These last couple of months, we've been watching these videos of all the different things Mother's Memorial does, you know, to New Beginnings, to Tupelo's Children's Mansion, to My Hope Radio, where it gets the gospel out to everybody. And so I just want you, this is usually the month that we take our offering, but I just want you to be prayerful and just ask God what you should give for Mother's Memorial. I know we've had people in this church affected by Mother's Memorial, the Demases. I think Sister McConville on her missions trip. I just want you to be prayerful and ask God, what should I give? Our church has always been a very giving church. Thank you for this to the leadership of this church. We're a giving church, but we're also a very blessed church. So I just want you to be prayerful and just give. When you give on your envelope, please mark Mother's Memorial. So God bless you.
Amen. It's always a blessing to give. I know we raise our kids. Isaiah has envelopes at home. We use similar to the Dave Ramsey method. He has three envelopes in his drawer, one for spending, giving, and saving. And he has his tithes and everything else when he goes to work with my wife. And he gets his weekly paycheck, our allowance on Friday for the work that he helps with. He takes out his tithes and his offering and puts it in his giving envelope. So it's important to give. And when we come and give, he sometimes likes to give the Mother Memorial. She's Save Our Children, and of many of the other offerings. I wanted to say Sheaves for Christ, but it's now Move the Mission. Amen. With that being said, if you would like to give, there you can give out at the welcome kiosk. There's an offering box out there. You can also mail it in. You can use a wonderful offering or the Church Center app to give on there as well. Next Sunday, June 12th, we'll be having retired missionary Alan Demas ministering in our 11 a.m. service. So come expecting an awesome move of God. Also on that same Sunday at afternoon at 6 p.m., we'll be having a men's outdoor service at Marvin Renvick's house. And then there'll be fellowship afterwards. So come expecting a great time. Brother Kasky did an awesome job speaking to us last month, and we had a great time grilling and fellowshipping after the service. On Sunday, June 19th, there will be a special Father's Day service. So please come, bring your father. Let's honor our fathers just as we honored our mothers. It's awesome to have them in the home, and we want to honor them. If you'd stand with me this morning, we want to go to the Lord in prayer. This month, my wife will be celebrating her birthday. And as her husband, I love her. And so we did something special for her birthday yesterday. And I said all that to say this. One, I wanted bonus points. I wanted her to know I love her. But also, I said it to say this. Today is Pentecost Sunday. It's the birthday of the church. It marks the outpouring of God's Spirit upon His people, to His bride. And so as we go to the Lord in prayer this morning, we have several people struggling with critical needs that are life-threatening needs. But we know that God is able. The Word of God says, by His stripes we are healed. And one of the things a veteran missionary encouraged and challenged my wife and myself when we were on the mission field is to pray and ask God. And we've been doing, we've been praying and we've been fasting. But then she said, after you've asked God, thank Him. So on the birthday of the church, to the bride of Christ, I would wonder if the body would join me together in thanking God for performing supernatural miracles and touching the bodies and the lives of all those that are affected by critical ailments in their body right now, because we know that God is able. And I'm thanking Him right now for what He's already done and what He's doing, because He's a healer. And He purchased that healing by shedding His blood for His bride. Also, if we'd keep Jennifer in our prayers, she's a young lady that attends the group Bible study that we hold every Saturday morning in Janesville. And also remember to keep Bishop in our prayers as well. And also, I'm going to encourage you, as we're going to the Lord in prayer, we have several baptisms taking place. I've been talking to a number of people this morning, so we have several baptisms happening after service. Keep all those new people in prayer as God continues to work and move in their lives. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, God, we thank You for pouring out Your Spirit on the church. Thank You for this wonderful day that we can gather together. Thank You for our nation that we can worship You openly. God, thank You for our brothers and sisters that are here, both in person and online. God, let Your Spirit be felt all over this building, all over the homes and lives and minds, in the cars, wherever people are viewing this service, whether presently or after the fact. God, let them feel Your Spirit and Your presence. Be with all the new babies. Be with Jennifer, God, and let Your way be in this service. Be with Pastor Roy as he delivers the message. We love You, Jesus. There's nobody else like You, God. And thank You for Your Spirit. Thank You for this birthday, this time that we can celebrate. God, thank You for the healings that are going to be imparted today upon all those in need. Let's go together and worship Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. God, we're hungry for You. Have Your way in this service. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Matthew 5:6 says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. And on this day, are you hungry? Are you thirsty for a fresh touch, a fresh Pentecost in your life? I just wonder if we could raise our hands, if we could close our eyes. God, we've already welcomed You into this place, God, but I pray for a hunger and a thirst, Lord God, to be birthed in each of our hearts, oh God. Lord Jesus, that You would fill us anew and You would fill us afresh today, God, with Your Spirit, we pray. We thank You, God, for what You're going to do in this place, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
This world could never satisfy longing in my soul. When all is lost and hope is dry, and all I feel is cold, I'm coming back to Your presence. I'm coming back to Your presence.
'Cause there's a hunger and a thirst, and I am desperate. Immerse me, and I'm not waiting. Not anymore. I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord.
Stronger than before. You are the one that I desire. Couldn't ask for
more. Come back.
I'm coming back to your presence.
Today, God, fill us afresh with your spirit today, God, just like the day of Pentecost, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Let your spirit break out.
Spirit break out.
Break every wall down.
Break all walls down.
Spirit break out.
Spirit break out.
Have a good old-fashioned praise break. Can we do that right now? Can we just have a good old-fashioned praise break? We lift our hands and we lift our voices and we cry out to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. We praise you. If you need a renewing in your spirit, right now's the time. If you haven't spoken tongues in a while, right now's the time. God's Spirit is here and He is moving. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, God. So Spirit, break out. Break our walls down.
heaven come down.
Cause there's a hunger and a thirst, and I am desperate. Lord, immerse me, and I'm not waiting, not anymore.
Presence of the Holy Ghost in this place. I think we had someone get the Holy Ghost down here just a few minutes ago. At Christmas time, we talked about the why. Remember that all the way back, Christmas? Seems a long time ago, doesn't it? And then at Easter, we talked about the how. Easter wasn't quite so far, so long ago. And Pentecost Sunday, we're to talk about the what. What? I have a message prepared. I don't know how we're going to go in this morning. But you can go ahead and be seated. We have some folks going to get baptized at the conclusion of this service. Excited about that. So the what, the why, and the how to Pentecost. God at Pentecost, God completed his plan. God completed his plan. We read in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. We can continue on in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. We can read where God formed man out of the dust of the earth and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. God placed man in the garden, and this garden was called Eden. God saw that it was not good that man be left alone. So God put a deep sleep upon Adam, and he took a rib out of Adam, and he formed a helpmate for him. We call that a helpmate, Eve. And Adam said, "Now, this is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. She was taken out of man. They were both naked and unashamed. They were sinless, living in God's paradise." Exactly how God had intended for life and humanity to live. This was God's will for mankind, to live in a paradise free from sin, free from struggles, free from strife, free from sickness, free from disease, free from death, with a daily, daily, daily relationship with God. God creating man was all about relationship. God putting man in a garden was all about relationship. And as God breathed into Adam, he breathed into him his spirit and his life. And scripture tells us that Adam became a living soul. As God is eternal, part of man is also eternal. Our souls belong to a creator in which created us. We are part of God, and upon our death, our body returns to the dust in which it was created, but our souls return to the God who breathed his life into us. It is through him in which we live and we breathe. God also created mankind with a will, a conscience, a power to choose, and it is often that power of choice that is most troublesome to man. As man lived in the garden, he was to dress the garden. He was to take care of the garden. God placed a tree in the midst of the garden. Now, this tree was not just any tree, but it was a very special tree. It was a tree God called of good and of knowledge and of evil. And when God spoke to Adam, the woman was not yet formed. In verse 16 in chapter 2, God commanded Adam. He didn't just tell Adam. He just didn't suggest to Adam. But it was a commandment. He said, "This is my tree, Adam. You can have every tree in the garden. You can have every part of the garden, but this tree is mine. Don't partake of it. Or the minute that you partake of this tree, you will surely die." We read in chapter 3 of Genesis, it starts out that the serpent was more subtle than any beast in the field. And the serpent came into the woman and enticed the woman and said, "Did you or have you tasted of the tree?" And she said, "God said we are not to partake of the tree." And the serpent kept telling and kept enticing and said, "You shall not surely die. For God doth know that the day that you eat thereof, your eyes are going to be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good from evil." See, he was partially right. They would not be as gods, but they would know the difference between good and evil, for evil had not yet entered in to their lives. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, what did she do? She took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And she took the fruit and she gave it to her husband. And Adam ate from the tree. And immediately both of them, their eyes were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And then they heard the voice of God in the cool of the evening as God entered into the garden. Every day for communion, for relationship with his creation. And they were hiding in the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, "Where art thou? Where art thou?" And he said, "I heard thy voice in the garden and I was afraid." Fear. Notice fear entered into the picture. He said, "I was afraid and I was naked." And God said, "Who told you? How did you know, Adam, that you were afraid? Where did this come from? Where did this fear come from?" And the Lord God said unto the woman, "What have you done?" And the woman blamed it on the serpent. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and every beast of the field. And on the rest, for the rest of your days, you're going to crawl around on your belly. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." What? Why? God continues a curse on the ground and he brings upon pain and for women in childbearing. And by the sweat of your brow, Adam, you're going to have to work every day of your life. Work is no longer going to be an enjoyment, something that you enjoy, but work, you're going to have to toil. You're going to have to work that soil. And from dust I created you, Adam. Dust you will return. Picking up in verse 21. "Unto Adam also unto his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. Innocent blood was shed to cover the nakedness of the sin of man. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and flaming sword, which turned every way to keep the way of the light tree of life. It was God's will. It was God's will that mankind live in the garden. It was God's will that you live a life, that humanity live a life free of sin and free of struggles. But God, knowing the end from the beginning, God had a plan. You see, God made a covenant. God made a promise. Brother Seidel spoke right parallel lines with this message, his message at 10 o'clock versus this message. But God had a plan. God made a covenant, a promise. And immediately after sin entered into the world, God promised mankind deliverance from the power of Satan. Deliverance from the power of the enemy, saying to the serpent, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. We see this promise being fulfilled in the New Testament as we read from Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, and when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law. For this purpose, the son was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil, in 1 John 3:8. So our relationship with our God continues. In Genesis chapter 6, we read that God saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and he repented that he had made man. And one man stood out, Noah. And Noah stood out. He had a sensitive heart towards God. Scripture said, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And God showed Noah a way of salvation. And Noah believed, and an ark was built, and Noah and his family was saved. Here again, as revealed in the New Testament, we have a picture of salvation through faith pointing to Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, it reads, by faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with a godly fear, preparing an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir to the righteousness which is according to faith. So God created a covenant. God made a promise with Noah. And after the flood ceased and the ark was on dry ground again, Noah built an altar in Genesis 8:21, and he offered burnt offerings, and the Lord smelled a sweet savor, and the Lord said in his heart, I will not curse the ground anymore for man's sake. For the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth. God knew that even though Noah was a man, and that Noah trusted God, that man had a perpetual sin problem. Sin is man's problem, and sin in our heart has not yet, the sin problem was not solved by a flood. Relationship was not restored as it was designed by God in the beginning. What God had done by sending a flood was like he had removed a giant cancer from mankind so that mankind could be spared. But eventually that cancer would pop up. It would show up again, and God would have to deal with it differently from then on. God promised never again to flood the earth or destroy the earth with water, but he put a rainbow in the sky and said, this is a promise, this is a sign, this is a covenant. So every time you see a rainbow in the sky, it is a promise, a covenant, a sign, a signal that God is saying, I will never again flood the earth by water. We are not to eat the blood. We read in Genesis chapter 9:3, God says to Noah, every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. Up until this time, man was totally vegetarian. But after the flood, God said, you see these animals, Noah, all these green herbs, whatever you want to eat, you can eat. You can eat the mammal, you can eat the rabbit, you can eat the squirrel, you can eat the deer, you can eat the cow, whatever you want to eat. But don't drink of its blood. He says in Colossians, we read in Colossians 1:13, he has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into a kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. But you see, the problem with sin in man's heart had not yet been fully dealt with. Sin didn't just go away because of a flood. It was still festering. It was still growing. And it was giving Satan full, humanity was giving Satan full access. Even to those who had chose to follow a path of righteousness, it wasn't long after the flood that Noah himself fell into sin. And then God makes a covenant, a promise with Abraham. Abraham enters in Genesis chapter 12 through Genesis chapter 25 when God called Abraham out of his own country at 75 years old, a childless man. His wife was barren, and God had promised to make a great nation and to bless him and to make his name great and make him a blessing, to provide protection to him, and the families of the earth would be blessed because of him. So all through Genesis chapter 12, we find the promises and the covenant that God makes with Abraham. We read in Genesis chapter 17, we learn that Abraham was 99 years old, some 24 years after God had made the promise. God reminds Abraham of his promise. He reminds him of the covenant. And he says, my covenant is with you, Abraham. And you shall be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. And God gave Abraham a son, and we know his son by the name of Isaac. And Isaac had two sons. Those two sons were born. And we know those two sons as Jacob and Esau. We've studied about them in our life classes. The latter would be called Israel. Jacob's name would be changed to Israel. That's how Israel, the country of Israel, receives its name. But that Jacob's 12 sons were the beginning of the 12 tribes of Israel. One of these 12 sons we know as Joseph became a slave in Egypt. He was the son, the favorite son of his father, and he was given the coat of many colors, and his brothers were jealous of them, and they sold him into slavery. He ends up in an Egyptian prison, but under God-ordained circumstances, after spending some 14 to 15 years in an Egyptian prison, he became the second most powerful man in the land. You see, God had a plan, church. God has always desired to have relationship with humanity. God went to great lengths to bring this relationship from the beginning to where it is today. All of this happening as Abraham had foretold. Abraham had prophesied to the people of Israel. They ended up in Egypt for 430 years, many of those years in bondage, in slavery. But in that enslaved condition, God created a mighty nation out of Israel. At the end, as the end of the 430 years drew to a close, a man steps into the scene that we know as Moses. Moses comes to power, steps in to lead the children of Israel, the people of Israel, out of Egypt, but they needed some guidelines. They needed some rules. They had lived in bondage under no particular rules or guidelines. God says, if you're going to be my people, you're going to have to live differently than you are living now. So he began to take and introduce to them. We have the Mosaic covenant that enters into the picture. So in Exodus chapter 3, we read how Moses was instructed by God to bring Israel out of Egypt by going to Pharaoh and demanding that he let his people go. And maybe you know the story, maybe you don't, but there were 10 plagues that God sent because each time that Moses went to demand, let my people go, Pharaoh said no, and God followed up by a plague. But the last plague, the 10th plague, God announced that during the night, he was going to send the death angel to the land of Egypt, and he was going to have every firstborn man and beast was going to die. Quite a consequence to telling God no. But the Israelites, he commanded that every household should kill a flawless, innocent male lamb, not older than 1 year, and put its blood on the doorpost and the lintel of their houses, and stay inside during the night and eat the Passover lamb. And as the death angel passed through the land, he would see the blood on the doorpost, and he would pass over, thus beginning the feast of the Passover. In Exodus chapter 12, 13, seeking protection from the blood of the Passover lamb, Israel learned that they were really not any better than the Egyptians if they were not covered through the shedding of innocent blood. God is introducing a plan. God is introducing a way to restore his relationship with humanity. We look into the New Testament, John the Baptist in John chapter 1:29. He says this, "Behold the Lamb which taketh away the sin of the world." Thus the people of Israel, they moved out of Egypt just as God has promised Abraham, and they started on their journey through the wilderness. We can follow their journey in chapters 19 through 24 of the book of Exodus, and we learn that Israel received the law out of the hand of God at Mount Sinai. We call these the Ten Commandments. The law was to be the people's schoolmaster, not a substitute savior that many would believe. And we can read in Galatians chapter 3, verses 24 and 25, it says, "Therefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring into us Christ." It was a road map, if you will, leading them, pointing them to a Messiah, to Jesus Christ, that he might be, or we might be, justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. Understand, the Mosaic law was there to provide to the people God's standard of righteousness. We learn in the Old Testament, story after story, generation after generation, where the Israelites chose to do this, that, depending on themselves rather than trusting their God. Not much is different with us today. We still struggle depending on God, and we try to trust in our own abilities and our own selves. And they would cry out in failure and misery, and that would lead them to repentance and crying out to God. Then God would restore the relationship and blessings would come. And we read all throughout the Old Testament an up and a down cycle, where they departed on their own abilities to save themselves, but they were unable to do it no matter what they tried. We read in Jeremiah chapter 31, he prophesies of a new covenant. "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant I made with their fathers in the day that I took them out of my hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them," says the Lord. He goes on to say, "Not any no more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. Jeremiah is prophesying what is to come. There's a new covenant coming. There's a new promise coming. And as the Old Testament comes to a close, the world is plunged into 400 years of silence where God speaks to no man. No books, no stories, no parables, no prophetic words are spoken. The world goes into 400 years of silence where God does not talk to mankind. Israel has no prophets. There's no judges. The world continues to decline, full of turmoil. It is in this 400 years, when we look into history, where the Grecian Empire rises to power, the Grecian Empire falls into disarray, and the Roman Empire comes into power, thus fulfilling Nebuchadnezzar's dream of this great image. God had waited until sin had reached its pinnacle, to where humanity had been stretched to the end. It could no longer be stretched, and sin was rampant in the world, to where God said, now is the time. Now is the time. God had waited. God had waited. And then Jesus Christ enters into the world. God, born in the flesh, born of a woman, born in a manger, thus fulfilling all early prophecies. I love this story of redemption. What we're talking about today is not just a bunch of stuff, a bunch of events. It's about God's redemptive power and what God desired to do to bring back relationship with humanity. God says, I love them. I created them. They are part of me. We think sometimes that God is so distant. God is so far away. God desires to dwell inside of us. Not sit beside of us, but be inside of us. So we read in the New Testament, we read, and behold, you shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and he shall be great. He will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God, and will give him the throne of his father David, and will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. We had our Christmas message. We read this. We talked about the nativity story. Matthew introduces Jesus. Luke introduces Jesus. But when we get to the book of John, John introduces Jesus in a much different manner than Matthew or Luke. John says, in the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Goes on to say, all things were made by Him. We started out in the beginning. God created the heavens and the earth. And John says, all things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life. Without Him is death. But in Him was life, and life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. He's saying He came to this earth. He was born in a manger. He lived. He walked. He died. He was in the world. He created the world, but the world didn't know who He was. They had no relationship with Him. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And Jesus Christ began to expand His ministry. I'm not going to be long here today. He's expanded His ministry. It was relationship in full circle when He turned water into wine. It was God turning water into wine. When He opened blinded eyes, it was God in the flesh opening those blinded eyes. When He walked on water, was God walking on water. When He healed the leper, it was God. When He cast out devils, it was God. We read in Luke chapter 4, 18, Jesus says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised." There are people here today. You are here. You are brokenhearted. You are here. You are being held captive. You are here because you are spiritually blind and you desire to be set at liberty. And Jesus Christ is here today. He is the fulfillment of God's promises from Adam to Abraham to Moses to David, a fulfillment of the covenants He made with man. But reading in Luke chapter 24, verse 20, Jesus instituted a new covenant. At the Passover meal, just before His crucifixion, He took the cup of wine in His hand. And He said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." The new covenant was also sealed with the blood of a sacrifice. We talked about Calvary at Easter and the sacrifice where Jesus was a lamb that was slain and His blood was poured out for the sins of all humanity. This was the end of the old covenant and the beginning of a new covenant. It was the how, it was the why, all pointing to the what. The what. Through the fulfillment of the law in Matthew 5:17, we find salvation from our sins and Him alone. Jesus Christ fulfilled the old covenant and its laws. When He lived a sinless life, He became the innocent sacrifice for our sins as a lamb led to the slaughter, and He was raised from the dead, defeating sin and death and giving Him ultimate power and authority forever over the kingdom of Satan. Do we understand today that in that one action, He became our high priest. He became our sacrifice. He became our temple. And nearing the end of His earthly ministry, Jesus spoke to His disciples and He gave them this promise. He said, "Now I am with you. I have always been with humanity." He says, "Now I am with you, but soon, not many days hence, but soon I will be in you." It's a perfect story. It's a perfect plan. The final part of His plan. A plan that started way back in the Garden of Eden with the fall of man, with the eating of the fruit, and man being cast out of the garden, that relationship severed. The what was about to enter into the picture, that spirit that walked and talked with Adam in the Garden of Eden. They felt that spirit every evening as it moved into the garden. that same Spirit was not going to just be with them, but it was going to be in them. It would soon dwell, not with man, but in man, giving us full power and dominion over the enemy. Are you tired of sin in your life? Are you tired of struggles in your life? Our musicians can come. We have some folks that are going to get baptized this morning. They're going to go down into a watery name, a grave in the name of Jesus. And when they go down in, they're going down as a sinful creature. All of the sin weighing upon them as they get into the water. But as they come up out of the water, that sin is going to be remitted. It's going to be washed away. It's going to disappear from their life. It's not something that's going to roll ahead 1 year after the next. It's not something they're going to have to kill another dove or another lamb for. It's something that will be eradicated from their life forever, never to be remembered again. We think it's just such a baptism is not a symbolic gesture. It's a powerful, important step to eradicating humanity from the clutches of sin. You're going to feel different. You will never feel the same way again. So what the Old Testament, what Ezekiel chapter 37, what Joel chapter 2, and what Jeremiah 31 and Isaiah 28, it all rang true when the day of Pentecost was fully come. They were all with one accord and one place. And if you could stand to your feet, and suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. We have to understand something. Ezekiel knew what the rushing mighty wind of God was when he said, "Can these bones live?" They knew what the wind was. They knew what the fire. Israel was no stranger to God's fire. It led them by night for 40 years. This dawned on me. This hit me when I was reading, going over my notes. The wind and the fire were something that was common to them. It was something they recognized. It was part of their culture. They knew what the wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. They called fire the prophet. The old prophet Elijah called fire down from heaven, and it consumed the sacrifice. And all the prophets of Baal were slaughtered that day on Mount Carmel, and Israel worshiped God, the God that answered by fire. But there was one element. You can say, in the past, I felt something from God. I felt a rushing mighty wind. I felt His Spirit. I've seen His power. I've seen His fire. But have you spoken with His language? And we read, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In Acts 1 and 5, Jesus had promised that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit. In Acts 2, 4, they were filled with the Holy Spirit as a fulfillment of Jesus' promise. Thus the completion of God's redemptive plan for humanity. You see, He was with us in the garden, but at Pentecost, He said, "I don't want to just sit beside you, Brother Josh. I don't want to just cuddle up to you. I want to be inside you. I want to be in your heart. I want to be in your mind. When you're having a struggle, I want to be right there at the source of the struggle. Everywhere you go, I want to be with you. Everywhere you play, every step you make, I want to make it with you. I'm not going to leave you. He told his disciples, I'm leaving. I'm going away. I'm not going to leave. I'm going to send a comforter. Boy, did he send a comforter. So you might find yourself sitting here today. You may ask the question, what's God's plan for my life? All the messes I've made, all the trouble that I've been in, all the trouble you've gone through. Maybe you've gone through plan A, B, C, D, E, F, and G. I just want to tell you, God has but just one plan. And it's not God's will that anyone should perish. And God did all of this. From in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues. As the Spirit, God gave the utterance. God did all of this because of relationship. Relationship. Christmas was why. Easter was how. Pentecost Sunday. So what? What must I do to be saved? You see, God's given us the power of choice. We talk about the Holy Ghost. We talk about repentance. Peter stood up later in chapter 2 of Acts. They say, men and brethren, he preached a message very similar to what I just preached to you this morning. And the Bible says conviction came upon their hearts. They said, what must we do? What must we do to be saved? Peter didn't go back to the Old Testament, to an old covenant. He said, this is all new, folks. We just got it ourselves. And boy, is it awesome, is it powerful. He said, repent. You've got to repent. You've got to say, you know what, Lord? All that sin, all that stupid stuff I did, I'm sorry, Lord. I don't want to live this way anymore. I want to change my direction. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. When you get out in the water this morning, for all of you getting baptized, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you come out of that water, expect to receive that gift. You say, well, Pastor, you don't understand. I don't understand that. I don't understand it either. But I've experienced it multiple times in my life. You can choose to have this relationship today, or you can deny to have this relationship. You see, you're here today because of choice. Every person here. Well, maybe some of the kids probably didn't have much of a choice, but I don't think Ben and Victoria said, hey, Isaiah, you want to go to church today? You want to stay home? I don't think it. I didn't have a choice. I have an obligation. I made a commitment. I'm here because I chose to be here. You're here because you chose to be here. And God is here because he wants to choose you. Did you know that? God chooses us. We don't choose him. He looks at Carl Rabine and says, there's a man. I like that man. I can use that man. I'm going to choose Carl. God works on Carl and worked on Carl, and Carl's here. Because God chose him. We could say that we all have our own story. So those that are wanting to get baptized this morning, I want you to just come up here to the front. We're going to have you assemble over on this side. Our baptismal team, Pastor Seidel, is going to go back there with you. We got a full team going to walk them through this process. We're excited about this. We had one young lady get the Holy Ghost already. As our worship team sings, If you've never experienced the power of the Holy Ghost, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, never repented of your sins, I want to open up this altar this morning. This afternoon, I guess by now. And if our worship team could sing, God bless you.
Come and make your throne upon our praise here in this place. Have your way. The moment that we see you, we are changed. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Hear, not by mind, not by time, but only by the cross we come alive. Here, we're undone, overcome by heaven's love revealed before our eyes. Show us your
now.
heart be holy ground. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. In wonder and surrender we fall down. Show us your glory. Show us your glory. Let every burning heart be holy ground. Chains fall, fear bow. Here, right now, Jesus, you change everything. Life, heal, hope, found. Here, right now, Jesus, you change everything.
Have to leave. We still have our baptism. Pastor Seidel, they're kind of giving some instructions and such that we give before baptisms. But I want to thank our worship team today for an awesome leading us into worship. Awesome job. Thank you so very much. Want to thank you for all coming today. Also, we had Brother Seth Merkus graduated high school. And, his graduation party was yesterday. I know some of you were able to make that, but make sure you catch Brother Seth and congratulate him. And I remember graduating from high school. I thought, man, this is so awesome. I don't have to go to school anymore. I don't have to get up and go to school and homework. Boy, was I deceived. Now you get to work 14, 16, 18 hours. Yeah, he's thumbs up. Just wait till you're 60. You think a little. Anyway, I'm going to step out of the picture. They're going to start baptizing. God bless you all. Thank you so very much for coming out today.
Finally,